Turn in your Bibles to the book of Colossians in the New Testament, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10. We find a very important goal that we are called to follow in the way that we live our lives, which he describes as the way we walk. Colossians 1 verse 10 says that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, that we might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. That's the goal that he sets forth for us there, that our lives would be described in that way, that in everything we would walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. And in the book of 1 Thessalonians in chapter 2, we find a similar teaching in verse 12. 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 12 says that you would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. So here we see in multiple places where the Lord is telling us how we need to walk worthy of him. And when we look at that word in the New Testament and in the Greek, it's the word axios, which means deserving, literally appropriately, for the root word of it. So we need to walk in an appropriate manner in the sight of God in our lives, unto all pleasing of God. That's the one that we is the definer of what is appropriate for us to do in our lives, and we need to be walking that way in everything to please him. Now, as a Christian, in the book of Romans in chapter 6 and verse 4, at the time when, and we'll actually read verses 3 and 4 together here, but at this moment when we become a child of God, when we become a Christian, he says in describing that, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." Can we be a Christian at all if we do not obey those commandments there? Well, that's the process. Those are the commandments by which the Lord will beget us, where we will be born again, where we become alive to God, when we have hope of eternal life. This moment when we become, when we are adopted by God as his child, and we become a Christian. At that moment, he says, then when we are buried with Christ in baptism, and then we are raised to walk in newness of life, is the life that we live as a Christian, is it to be new or different than the way we lived prior to being a Christian? And that we can see there in Romans chapter 6 and verse 4 without any question or doubt about it. In Galatians chapter 6, when he's talking about being a child of God, he says that Galatians chapter 6, verses 14 through 16, "But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of God." So again, this is how we are to walk, walking in newness of life. Here we are walking as a new creature. It's a new life. We're a new creature in Christ. But the way that we're to walk now as a Christian is very different from the way that we walked before we were a Christian. Otherwise, we're not one. We have to be a new creature. And here he says that the world is crucified unto us and us unto the world. Well, we're crucified with Christ, that old man. Our old man is crucified with him. Then we are buried in baptism with him, and then we're raised to walk in this newness of life. Now as a new creature, where we're no longer living for this world. It's crucified to us and us to it. In the book of Ephesians in chapter 2, verses 1 through 6, we have a very good description of this transformation that takes place and telling us, showing us what we how we lived or how we walked before we were in Christ and how we walk now in Him as a new creature. Ephesians chapter 2, 1 through 6 says, "And you hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Well, there we are as that new creature. We are now crucified to this world, the world to us, and we've been raised up by Him to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. When we were not in Christ Jesus before that, how did we walk? We weren't walking worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. We were not walking as a new creature. And instead, He says we were walking according to the course of this world. But we cannot be a Christian without changing our mind. Before we were fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, He says in verse 3, we have to have a new mind, a different mind, which is the very definition and meaning of the word repent. So now our fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of our mind must no longer be that rule that we walk by, which is according to this world. But now our mind, our will has to be to do the Lord's will, to walk worthy of Him unto all pleasing. And so our old man is then crucified with Him, and that is when we can be buried with Him in baptism and be raised to walk in that newness of life as a new creature, walking according to that rule where we are going to live only for Him and that we are crucified to this world and the world to us. In chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4, we have a further description of this transformation that takes place from the way we used to walk to the way we must walk when we walk worthy of the Lord as He's called us to do. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 24, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness." Now what did He say in chapter 2 about the way we walked before? Well, that's the way we walked before. But as a Christian, we can't walk that way any longer. And so He says and testifies that we henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in that manner as He's describing it there. When we are alienated from the life of God, when we're not walking worthy of Him unto all pleasing, and we are therefore a stranger to Him, separated from Him, He says there in verse 20, "But ye have not so learned Christ." In Christ we don't learn to walk after the course of this world following this uncleanness and living in the way He's describing that the Gentiles, those of the world, do live when the world is not crucified to them and them to the world, but they are of it and in it. He says, "We have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation," and that word is behavior, the former behavior that we're not to live in anymore. He says, put that off, that the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And there's much more that He has to say in detail of the things that we do put off concerning the old man, in his deeds and and describing the way that we walked before that we must not do anymore, right down to the end of chapter 4. But we want to pick it up again at the beginning of chapter 5, verses 1 through 8, where he says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love." So when we're walking worthy of him, we're going to walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for you were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. So how many times do we read this where he points out how we used to walk and that we can't walk that way any longer? We can't live the way we lived before when we were not in Christ. We have learned a new way to live, to walk, and we must walk according to that way, in the light, according to what he teaches us to do. Now, as he gives the details of those things that we used to do and that we are no longer to do, and these things that are not even to be named among us, is there to be a distinction between our life as a follower of Christ and the world? I mean, that same contrast between the way we used to live or walk to the way we are now is the same contrast between the way that we are living and walking compared to the world in general, because we once were walking according to this world. So what is the contrast between us and the world and the way that we live? Is it a small thing, or is it something very clear and distinct? Well, he's describing it there, and the world is in darkness and we're walking in the light. How different is that? It is opposite. It is completely different. And so as a Christian, I mean, look at the world, the way the world lives, the things that the world does, the way the world dresses, the way the world speaks. Is there a difference between us and what we do in those things versus the world? And if what we are is like the world and not like what we're taught by Christ, then we're not walking worthy of him and of all pleasing, and we need to make those changes that he's calling us to make there. Colossians chapter 3. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 3, teaching the same point. Beginning in verse 1, he says, "If you then be risen with Christ," so if we have been raised with him to walk in newness of life, then this is absolutely essential, what follows with that. And if we're not doing what he says after that, he says, "If you then be risen with Christ," well, if we're not doing whatever this is that's coming next, then are we really risen with him? Are we really walking in newness of life? Are we really that new creature? He says, "If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." I mean, is our life different now? That life that we lived before is over. He says that we are dead. That life no longer exists. That old man that we were no longer exists. He says our life is hid with Christ in God. So the only manner in which we have a life, in the way that we live, in the way that we walk in this world, is Christ in us and Christ living in us. He says in verse 4, "When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory." When Christ, who is our life, shall appear. What other life is there? He is our life when we are in him. There's no other life. So we must walk worthy of him. And therefore, and he uses that word at the beginning of verse 5, "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth." So anything that we're doing that is of this world, that belongs to this world, what does he say to do with it? If Christ is our life, then anything that's different than him has to be put away. Mortify, that means to kill it. Kill it off. Those members, he says, which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, into which you also walked sometime when you lived in them. And so we see so much similarity between the teachings here and what we looked at in the book of Ephesians a few minutes ago. We did walk in those things before, but no longer. We can't do that anymore. He says we lived in those things before, but we can't live in those things anymore. Verse 6 or verse 8. But now you also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Now, how many of those things that he describes there from verses 10 through 14, which he summarizes as the image of him that created him, the one who created this new man, this the image of Christ. How many of those things that he describes from verses 10 to 14, where he's describing the image of Christ that we're to walk in, that we're to have in us, how many of those things do we see in the world? I mean, this world is not where we're going to find humility, where we're going to find mercy and kindness and meekness and long-suffering and forbearance and forgiveness. Those things are not of this world. That's not what the people of the world follow. That's not what we're walking in. These things that are different than that, he tells us to put away, to kill those members, anything that's not according to that image of Christ, anything that is not according to Christ being our life. Those things have to be put away from us, putting off that old man, instead putting on the new man. That's walking worthy of the Lord when we do that. And he says, we do this unto all pleasing. And that means everything that we do must please the Lord. We saw that in Colossians 1 and 10, walking worthy of him unto all pleasing. Now, when we look at Christ, who is our life, how did he walk? Did he walk worthy of his Father unto all pleasing? He did. And what does that really mean? This is something that a lot of people would like to find a way to water down in some manner, to not make it really mean that in everything that we have to be pleasing him and that we aren't taking any time off from that in our lives. Well, this is the life of Christ, who is our life, the image that we're to have and to be in. John 8:28 and 29. Then said Jesus unto them, when you've lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. Did he walk worthy of his Father unto all pleasing? That's all he did. What did he do of himself? Nothing. He did always what pleased his Father, did nothing of himself. Did he speak of himself? Or did he speak what his Father taught him to speak? Jesus, in his every thought, word, and deed, did what was right in the sight of his Father, fulfilling his will. That is our pattern to follow. That is the life that we have to live. He is our life, and we have to walk according to that rule. In the book of 1 John, in chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6, he tells us there again that we are to walk in him. 1 John chapter 2, verse 6 says, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Now, does that mean just a little bit every now and then? Or does he say he is our life? There's no other way to walk but for us to walk after him. If we say that we abide in him, that's how we have to walk, and that's all the time. We have to walk worthy of him unto all pleasing. back in the book of Colossians in chapter 2 and verse 6. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6. He says, "As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him." And he tells us this over and over again. As we've received him, we are to walk in him. We are to walk in his steps, and we are to walk in him. And that is always. Now, when we consider, well, how do we do that, and how do we know what that is? Well, we've already seen parts of that, like we saw in Ephesians chapter 4. We have not so learned Christ, that is, walking as the other Gentiles walk according to this world. But we have learned Christ. From him, we have learned how we must walk. After he said that in Ephesians chapter 4, that we read a moment ago in verse 20, he says in verse 21, "If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus." So where is it that we find what is all pleasing to the Lord and how to walk worthy of him unto that? It's by his teachings and his word. That's the only place we're going to learn that. God is not going to speak directly out of heaven individually to each of us and say, "Okay, now I want you to do this today, or I want you to do this tomorrow," or anything like that. The Lord is telling us all of that right here in his word. That's what it's here for. And that's where we're going to find revealed to us how Christ lived, how he spoke and thought, and how he behaved, how he lived his life. And then we are to follow in those footsteps. So we have to learn this by the word of God. Back in the book of 1 Thessalonians, we were in chapter 2 earlier there, but let's go now to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and look at verse 1. 1 Thessalonians 4, 1. "Furthermore then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more." He says, as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. What we have received, how we need to walk and please him, from his word here. And well, in chapter 2 of this book that we were reading from a little bit a while ago, we read verse 12. Verse 13, 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13, how did they receive from Paul how they ought to walk and please him? Well, by the word of God. He said in 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received," remember he said in chapter 4, verse 1, "you received of us," this is what they received from them, "you received the word of God which you heard of us. You received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." What they received from Paul was the word of God, not the word of men. And so we receive God's word, and that is what tells us how we ought to walk and please him. There's no other source of that. There's no other place we're going to find how we ought to live in this world. All things that pertain to life and godliness are found through the knowledge of Jesus Christ. He tells us that in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. This is revealed here in the New Testament. Everything that we need to know about how to be godly and please the Lord, how to walk worthy of him unto all pleasing, it is all found here in the New Testament. So it's the word of God that reveals that to us. That is the source of our faith, Romans 10, 17. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, he tells us we are to walk by faith, not by sight. Walking by faith comes, and that faith that comes from hearing God's word, we're walking by the word of God. That's what he tells us to do. In Psalm 119 verse 151, he says, "Thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth." All of God's commandments are truth. Jesus said in John 17, 17, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." So we have to walk in the truth. In the book of 2 John in the New Testament, It can be a little hard to find because it's one chapter, but very close to the book of Revelation at the end of the New Testament where we find that. In 2 John, verse 4, he says, I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. And then the next book, 3 John, in verses 3 and 4, he says, For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Well, God's word is that truth. To walk in the truth, we're walking according to God's word. And therefore, then, we are walking in the light. In 2 John, verse 4, 2 John verse 4, he says, when he says that, I'm sorry, I'm wanted to skip forward now to Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 10. Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 10. He says, who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Well, we need to walk in the light and not walk in darkness any longer. Back in Psalm 119, down verse 105, we saw verse 151 a moment ago, but verse 105 says, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So God's word is revealed as being the source of our faith that we're to walk by. It is the truth that we're to walk in. And it is the light that we are to walk in. So we're told to walk in truth. We're told to walk by faith. We're told to walk in the light. Well, all of this means walking according to God's word. And then we're walking worthy of the Lord, because that is the source of how we know to walk and to please him. So it's walking after his teachings. In John 8, verse 12, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And then now in the book of 1 John in chapter 1, so we've taken a little tour of 2nd and 3rd John. Now we want to add to that the book of 1 John. But in chapter 1 of 1 John, verses 9 and 10, he says, If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. I'm sorry, we want to read verses 5 through 7. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Jesus also said in John chapter 12, verses 35 and 36, for us to walk as children of light. So over and over again in God's word, we are taught to walk in the light, or to walk as children of light. The book of John, the Gospel of John in chapter 11, verses 9 and 10, we are to walk in light instead of darkness. Well, Christ is the light of the world, so we're to walk in him. So we have to walk in his light, walk in the light and no longer walk in darkness, as we used to do. John 11, verses 9 and 10. Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. Well, the Lord has called us to walk in the light and not to be walking in darkness. And that's how we are to have fellowship with him, as we saw in 1 John 1. 5 through 7. There is no darkness in him. There is only light. And so to be a follower of God, we have to walk in the light. We saw that in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2 earlier, when we were told to walk in love. And then we're told in verse 8 to walk as children of light. So we're to walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing. We need to find his commandments, what he teaches us to do, in the way that we do everything, and with every thought and word and deed, we need to be doing according to what he has taught us to do, to live in that manner so that we truly are walking worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, where He is our life, and that there is no other life that we live, there is no other way that we walk other than according to that rule. And this morning is an opportunity for you, if you've not yet done what we studied to do in the book of Romans and chapter 6 a while ago, if you've not yet crucified your old man with Christ, then it's time to do that and to be crucified to the world and the world unto us. If you are ready to repent in that manner, to walk in this new life where you are only living for Christ only walking according to His footsteps in His light, then this is an opportunity for you to be baptized into Him for the remission of your sins, to be raised to walk in that newness of life that we were reading about. If you are a member of the Lord's body, if you've not been walking worthy of Him and to all pleasing, if you need to repent of anything at this time or have the prayers of your brethren, this is an opportunity for you also to come forward and make that known. Anyone that needs to come now, please do so while we stand together and sing.